Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the presentation of results for the 2021 third quarter of ISSSTE. We are joined today by Bernardo Vargas, our CEO, Carolina Botero, Chief Financial Officer, Olga Lucía López, Chief Information Technology Officer, and César Ramírez, Chief Electric Power Transmission Officer. My name is Diana Cardona, Investor Relations Specialist. This event is being broadcasted in Spanish with simultaneous interpretation in English. At the end of the event, we'll have a question and answer session. During the presentation, you can ask these questions through the window that appears on the right side of your screens. Please provide your name and the name of your company. To begin with, I will give the floor to Bernardo, who will present the highlights of the quarter. Go ahead, Bernardo, please.
Thank you, Diana, and good morning to everyone. First, please let's go to the next slide. We're going to show some relevant information. Let's start here with a topic connected with the ESG. As you know, ISSSTE is paramount. We place importance because it's in the core of our strategy. We believe that the protection of environment, the protection of communities, and the corporate governance is fundamental for achieving the financial results. In that regard, ISSSTE has been also an active participant of the different events that are related to it. The most recent one, the COP26 that is happening right now, and the Expo 2020 in Dubai, that, as you know, will take place soon. In line with our commitment, which is the big commitment of protecting the planet, and as an example for other companies that would like to be part of this, ISSSTE, in alliance with Ecopetrol, offset the carbon footprint of the entire Colombia pavilion in the first week of October to be neutral carbon. The resources obtained through this compensation will be invested in a project to prevent the deforestation of the Chocó forests in Colombia, one of the most biodiverse places on the planet. Another important project that ISSSTE will present at Expo Dubai is our Conexión Jaguar program. That, as you know, is a sustainability program that contributes to the biodiversity conservation, climate change mitigation, and the development of rural communities and the connectivity of the jaguar's natural habitats in Latin America. A couple weeks was able to attend to Brazil with Pantera, our lead, in Pantanal Pará, and to see firsthand how they were working with communities, cattle owners, and others to protect the jaguar from the main predator of the jaguar, which is human beings. We're very proud of having been awarded four categories in the previous Andesco Sustainability Awards. We obtained the best work environment in utility companies, best environmental settings in utility companies, best COVID-19 management in utility companies, and that makes us feel very proud for being selected among many companies that had to face big challenges. And finally, a small utility company grand prize that was awarded to XM, a company that was declared out of competition for exceeding the expectations of this category. Thus recognizing not only the contribution of the initiative developed by XM to contribute to the achievement of the sustainable development goals. Please let's go to the next slide. Here again, I would like to say that for ISSSTE and its company, good governance, it's fundamental, and it means, and this has allowed us to be a transparent company that assures the creation of value. The last 22nd of October, and the defined board of directors for a period, after that Ecopetrol finalized the purchase of ISA's shares that the national government had, and in that extraordinary board, the five members was elected for October 21, March 22. We're going to keep five members from the previous board, four of which are selected by minorities and EPM, and where four of the five members were modified by, selected by Ecopetrol. Among them, we have the president of Ecopetrol, Felipe Bayon Pardo, CEO of this group, who is a controller of ISA, who has 30 years of expertise in the energy industry. Also Jaime Caballero Uribe, who is the chief financial officer of Group Empresarial Ecopetrol, who has more than 20 years of expertise in recognized conglomerates of the international energy sector. Both Mr. Bayon and Mr. Caballero, both elected as non-independent members. As independent members, Andres Felipe Mejia Cardona, an economist and former member of IFAS Board of Directors in 2000, and Mr. Jesus Aristizabal Guevara, he's a civil engineer with a wide expertise in energy and gas, who was also a member of ISA's board of directors for more than 20 years until a year ago. And Ana Fernanda Mayhuasca Olano was ratified, who has held positions of high responsibility in the public sector, to be the Vice Ministry of Treasury and Director of the Bank of the Republic. In accordance with our good corporate governance, of the nine members of the board, seven continue to be independent, which is higher than 25% required by law. And in this meeting, Santiago Montenegro was ratified as chairman of ISA's board of directors. On the other hand, as part of the four institutional committees that ISA has and that support decision-making processes, these committees are made up of members of the board of directors and ISA's administration. In this sense, its composition was recently redefined, taking into account the new members of the board. We have Sustainability and Risk, the Business Committee, Auditing Committee, and Organizational Talent. And in this slide, we have a description, a detailed description of how the board is. Please, let's go to the next slide. Another relevant issue during this quarter has to do with the execution of our investments, which during the third quarter amounted to 890 billion pesos. Most of these investments was concentrated in Brazil, where progress was made in the construction of electric power transmission projects awarded to ISA CETEP in past tenders and in reinforcements and improvements to its network. The other investments were focused on advancing projects in Peru, with we have the Coya and Yana projects, biggest electricity transmission in Peru, and in Colombia, the execution of several UPNES that are in good progress. In Chile, a progress was made in the expansion of two substations of the Inner Chile network, Maitencillo and Pan de Azúcar, and in the construction of Rutas de Loya, third lanes in Maipo and other road projects in the rest of the country's concessions. For the rest of the year, we continue our growth dynamic with 25 electric power transmission projects under executions and 8 in roads. All these projects will represent future revenues for ISA and its companies and will also contribute to achieving our investment goal for this year, which amounts to 4.5 billion Colombian pesos. Our investment. Our cumulative investment as of September already exists at 3.5. Let's go next slide, please. Here, I have to mention what it means, the transaction that I already mentioned, through which Grupo Ecopetrol has control of ISA, and the two companies unite to advance towards a path that should open new opportunities for growth and leadership in the American continent, and that will contribute with the social and economic revival of a region with great potential. Through this unprecedented acquisition in the region, we have created the largest integrated energy group in Latin America, through which we are strengthening our position to increase our competitiveness and participate in large projects in the future. It represents a value added. Ecopetrol and ISA are solid companies and profitable companies, and also they have common objectives to protect the environment and generate progress in territories. Both companies had already undertaken an unprecedented transformation with key actions in energy transmission, decarbonization, social, environmental investment, diversity, and inclusion, aligned with the purpose of contributing to the country goals of the 2030 Agenda for Sustainable Development. And of course, the Sustainable Development Goals. The human talent of both companies have the privilege of working together, and they have advancing in a clear fashion to make sure that the human talent of both companies, and especially the ones from ISA, it's strengthened in the future. More than 54 years of ISA and 70 years of Ecopetrol, and this is a new group that has a very solid experience of many years. This would allow to continue with the program of the geographic diversification to access new markets. And we are sure that it was a boost to the objectives of our companies. At the Ecopetrol Group, they say that we energy transfer Colombia, and ISA, we have connections that inspire. And this talks about the maximums of ISA's manifesto. Finally, before giving the floor to Carolina, I would like to thank you, shareholders, investors, and analysts, on that screen, because, as you know, at the end of August, I presented my resign to continue as executive president, as CEO of the group. It's a decision that comes for many years in the past, where in 2020 I already talked to the board about starting a process of having an order transition that has to be stopped by the pandemic. And this year, 2021, of course, it was stopped by the transaction of Ecopetrol. until it wasn't in a good condition. I resigned knowing that in these 6 years, we have had a transformational impact on ISA and its company with historic profit, with a ROA historic that is reflected mainly on the common work of the group of men and women commitment who have in their heart a clear service of vocation and who have been fundamental to make sure that the projects that we have managed in these years together with this commitment of sustainability is being performed properly. The number of companies moved from 33 to 39. You more than ever know the evolution of the share. When I arrived, it was in 6,000 pesos, and it reached during the years higher values, and reaching the beginning of the years close to the 30,000 pesos, and that ended in that value of 25,000 per share, through which Ecopetrol Group bought the shares of national government. That means multiplication of value of this company, about five times. And since this belongs to millions of Colombians, it makes me very proud. It makes me very, very proud about the fact that I was part of this evolution. We have concentrated during the years in generating the 2030 strategy that, as you know, has been marked by clear objectives, from financial objectives, but also in parallel to climate change, to promote innovation, to promote good governance practices, and to work in alliance. You know that our 2030 strategy is part of this economy, VIDA, green innovation, development, and alliances, where we declare that we work with others. And in the center of that strategy, we have, of course, the management of our talent, the growth of our talent, and a leadership towards a company that it's a lot more humane, with the focus on building society. During these years, it's important also to mention that we decided to start with the road business in Colombia, and we are committed with this road business in Colombia as a fundamental part of the diversification of risk of this group. I want to thank all of you for the years of patience that you had with me, for believing of what we were doing, and for supporting that special path of multiplying the price of the share that has actually benefited all the shareholders that you represent. So in this last version of this quarter report, and the last one I'm going to be part of, I thank you, and I will let you know my commitment with my professional life, looking for a possibility to serve in that purpose of building a better society. With that, let's go to the next slide, and I will give the floor to Carolina. Bernardo, thanks a lot. Very nice, the words that you gave us, and the recap of all the positive impact that you generated in the group. We are very, very thankful for the role that you played, you have played during all those more than 6 years that you led this great company. As always, I'm very happy to address you today. I'm now going to present in detail the group's financial results for this quarter. So let's move on to the next slide to learn about the most important financial milestones that help us understand the figures. Before explaining the financial performance of this quarter, it's important to mention two situations. The first one, the re-expression of the first 3 and 2020, this was done to improve the compatibility of the information, financial information, and it's re-express the information of the third quarter of 2020, including the financial effect of the Commission of Value of Brazil, CVM, that, as you know, was published in December 2020, towards the end. This restatement represented an EBITDA of 286 billion more in third quarter 2020, and of 82 billion more in net income than expected. And this is explained by the following adjustments in ISA SATIP and its subsidiaries. As the first measure, let us remember that to each project during the construction phase, it was allocated a construction margin per project. And second, the change in the concession discount rate from the regulatory WACC to the implicit rate of each concession contract. Therefore, the variations that we're going to see today already incorporate this restatement of the third quarter 2020 financial statements. The second is the financial impact of non-recurring events that are not going to repeat on the third quarter 2021 income. And how it was this generated? Number one, it was as a result of the successful replacements in the international market of the largest structured green bond in the region for $1.2 trillion, which was intended to refinance the existing debt to optimize the financial cost and achieve a better match with the asset life. Inter Chile recognized the cost associated with this operation, with an impact on ISA's income of 273 billion that was registered in September. The higher value was the interest rate swap of the previous debt. And the second non-current event is because ISA Colombian Companies, as a result of the tax reform, recognized the change in the income tax rate from 30% to 35% in the calculation of the deferred tax. And these generate a negative effect on results by 146 billion Colombian pesos. After explaining these two events, now let's talk about the results. For the first quarter of the year, the group's revenues grew by 7.1% and EBITDA by 5.8%, ratifying the sustainable and profitable growth path that has been supporting our results. At the net income level, and due to the specific events highlighted above, we presented a 78.6% drop with respect to the third quarter of last year. But it's important to mention that if these non-recurring events hadn't occurred, the accumulated income as of September 2021 would have grown by 4.8% compared to the same period of the previous year. Let's mention the main milestones for the quarter. Number one, the consolidation of new companies such as PBTE and Ruta Costera, which didn't consolidate in the third quarter of last year, and Orasul that consolidated only 1 month for 2020. Second, the entry into operation of three electric power transmission projects, the Nueva Pan de Azúcar, Polpaico Reactive Compensation in ISA Interchile, y Itapura in ISA Satepi, the AAA connection in Transelca, and 72 reinforcements to the existing network in ISA Satepi in Brazil. And the positive effect of income of the IPCA in Brazil and the PPI and TRM in Colombia. Finally, it's important to highlight Moody's ratification of the rating, a Baa2 with a stable outlook. In its report, the agency highlights ISA's position as one of the largest transmission companies in Latin America, with diversified operations through its subsidiaries located in different countries and businesses. In addition, the rating is supported by ISA's modest leverage reflected in its debt indicators. Let's go to the next slide to go into detail on the financial results. Let's start with income. Operating revenues amounted to 2.9 trillion, 7.1% more than in the same period for 2020. This increase is explained by the following events. Number one, the entry into operation by the end of 2020 of the following projects: the expansion number 20 and Moquegua Papujune connection projects in Peru. Second, Bank of Transforming the Cardones, Maitencillo, and Pan de Azúcar substations in Chile. Nova Porto Primavera Rosana 2, 30 kV transmission line, the installation of three synchronous compensators in Brazil. And finally, the incorporation of the following quotes: second reinforcement of the Copay Cuestecitas and Copay Fundación transmission lines, and second transformer of the Ocaña substation in Colombia. By geography, other factors explaining the variation are: in Brazil, higher revenues for 120 billion Colombian pesos, mainly due to the inflation adjustment, IPCA, of revenues in ISA Satepi and its company, and the incorporation of 100% of PBTE. In Colombia, for the electric power transmission business unit, higher revenues for 64 billion pesos, mainly due to the effect of macroeconomic variables, PPI and TRM, on revenues, in addition to the incorporation of the aforementioned calls for proposals. Revenues for the road business unit in Colombia increased by more than 64,000 million pesos as a result of the incorporation of Ruta Costera. In Peru, higher revenues for 23 billion Colombian pesos as a result of the consolidation of Orazul Energy Group and the federal exchange rate effect on revenues. And finally, in Chile, higher revenues associated with maintenance in concessions and toll management in Intervial for 16 billion Colombian pesos. These increases were partially offset by an 18.9% drop in construction revenues, explained by the following three factors. First, 125 billion Colombian pesos of construction efficiencies in ISA Satepi and its company that happened with the entry into operation of projects in third quarter 2020 and that didn't occur in 2021. Second, we have a lower construction activity in Peru. And third, not counting on the revenues from Ruta del Maule, whose term ended in March 2021. The accumulated as of September, total revenues amounted to 6.6 billion, 8.1% more than in the same period of the previous year. Let's move on the next slide, please, to talk about EBITDA. EBITDA for the first quarter exceeded the 1.93 billion, a 5.8% increase compared with the same period of the previous year. Operating costs in the quarter were 1 trillion Colombian pesos, 9.7% increase compared with the third quarter of the previous year. In this regard, it's important to understand the dynamics of both construction and operational expenses. So let's start with the construction costs. They increased by 2.4% due to increased construction activity in Brazil and Chile and the incorporation of Ruta Costera, partially offset by the termination of Ruta del Maule Concession contract. AOM amounted to 513,930 million for the quarter, with an increase of the 17.7% compared to the same period 2020, and mainly due to the consolidation of new companies and projects. The total EBITDA margin reached 65.5% and 77.9% excluding construction. For the accumulated amount, EBITDA increased by 5.2%, reaching 5.3 trillion Colombian pesos. The EBITDA margin was 65.5% and 77.7% when excluding construction. Let's go to next slide to go deeper on the behavior of net income. Accumulated net income through September totaled to 1.2 billion Colombian pesos, and this represents a decrease of 22% compared to the same period of the previous year. As previously explained, we had two non-recurrent events in September that affected earnings by 419 billion Colombian pesos. Now, if we look at the graph, the event that contributes the most to income increase is operating revenues due to the entry into operation of the new projects mentioned above, acquisitions, and the behavior of macro variables. And the factor that most impacted us in this period was the net financial expenses, with an increase of 80.2% compared to 2020 due to the recognition of financing costs resulting from the reprofiling of Interchile's debt, mainly due to the cost of eliminating the derivative associated with the previous debt. In addition, there was a higher exchange different expense by 99 billion Colombian pesos. It's important to note that if the impact of the cost associated with the Interchile refinancing and the change in the Colombian income tax rates were deducted from accumulated net income would be in 1.6 billion Colombian pesos, which is 4.8% higher than in the same period of the previous year. But besides higher this net increase, the important message here for you is that even though this adjustment, the net income as of September is higher of what we have in the budget, and we hope to continue with this at the end of 2020. Let's go to next slide, please. The financial indicators, as Bernardo mentioned, continue to demonstrate the strength of our businesses. As of September, ROE reached 12.5%, reaffirming our commitment to grow with profitability and generating sustainable value for our shareholders. This indicator has dropped due to the effects recognized and already mentioned in this quarter. However, a double-digit ROE for our shareholders is very attractive considering the nature of our business, that it comes from predictable income over the long term and with low volatility. As we've seen, the EBITDA margin, excluding construction, was 77.7%, which is a sign of financial strategy focus on the permanent profit of our operations. And that because of the recognition of CAE and the effects of the tariff revision in SETEPI registered during 2020. The debt EBITDA indicator was 3.9 times. This figure continues to be below what is required to maintain our current risk rating. And this allows us to continue leveraging ISA's growth according to the ISA 2030 strategy. Let's go to the next slide, please. As of September, consolidated financial debt amounted to 26.9 billion Colombian pesos, a 19% higher than in December 2020. What are the main reasons for this increase? Number one, Interchile, the issuance of internationally structured green bonds for 4.6 billion and the loan prepayment for 3.2 billion. Second, bond issuance and disbursements in ISA SETEPI for 1.4 billion to finance lots awarded in 2019, plus consolidation of the PBTE debt. Third, the exchange rate effect of 1.3 billion given the 6.7% devaluation of the closing rate of the COP against the BRL and against the USD and the revaluation against the CLP. Debt indicators remain at the level since in the last year, as the increase in the debt was accompanied by higher EBITDA generation. Let's go to the next slide. Now, I will give the floor and welcome Olga López, who is our guest today to talk about our achievements in digital transformation, which is a transversal enabler for us to keep growing and capturing efficiency in Nissan and all its company, and of course, seeking to fulfill the goals of the ISA 2030 strategy. Olguita, welcome. Thank you, Carolina. Good morning to everyone. I'm very glad to be with you at this conference. 3 years ago, ISA Group started a process of unprecedented change. We established our digital ambition, and we defined a large percentage of our strategic initiatives will be leveraged on digitalization, turning innovation and digital transformation into two organizational capabilities and strategic levers. And they are part already of the DNA of our work teams, and if we work together, we can reach our goals. These capabilities have enabled us to face the challenges of the pandemic and to adapt to this new reality, but also has allows us to be more competitive, creating a vision of the future that will takes us away from obsolescence. Today, digital transformation at the company, it's very important to us, and we get very close. I think Bernardo mentioned in the beginning, we came from a company that had a very strong digital effort, but we see the transformation where the center is on people. We want to make sure that ISA continues being a humane company, digital transformation process inclusive, and is led by the business leader and our supporting areas. And that's why today the process is in the heart of the businesses, as Carolina mentioned, generating efficiencies and optimizations, but also to clearly and tangibly contribute to solve urgent issues such as climate change, social development, and of course, the progress of the countries where we operate. Now, our goal is to speed up the delivery of value to our businesses and to scale out all initiatives that are already bearing fruit. Within the framework of our strategic digital transformation initiative, we have committed to five value agendas on which our efforts are focused and where we have faced and will continue to face significant challenges. I invite you to see them. Please, let's go to the next slide. Through our first agenda, we call it the strategic agenda, we seek to leverage the fulfillment of the objectives of our 2030 strategy. 65% of the strategy initiatives have a significant technological component. We have drones, analytics, AI, robotics, the Internet of Things, and blockchain. And all this is part of those roadmaps of our business and cross-cutting processes, making them more innovative, safe, effective, and humane, as already mentioned. Today, we can say that our digital transformation is on the right track. I'm going to mention some accomplishments. We use drones to automate the capture of video and images when inspecting transmission lines. This allows us to protect our personnel from the risks of working at heights and high voltage. It's something that we are continuously scaling up. We have experts who provide assistance to our substation personnel through augmented and virtual reality, reducing travel and therefore reducing CO2 emissions. We use artificial intelligence to improve and streamline the diagnosis of transmission line failure associated with corrosion or broken insulators. With advanced analytics, we have incorporated the concept of assets performance management into operation and allows us to have that maintenance processes. And that brings cost efficiency in the operation and maintenance process, increasing the useful life of assets, reducing the risk of system events and failures, and reducing environmental risk, especially those caused by transformer equipment failures. With predictive models, we can predict external phenomena, such as landslides and fires, which allows us to protect communities, roads, public service facilities, properties, and neighboring buildings. And in this way, we could list many more. Let's go to next slide, please. Our second agenda, we called it productivity. And the idea is to optimize man hours thanks to the automation of manual tasks in cross-cutting and business processes with the help of digital agents and AI. Today, we have automate tasks to free processes. Today, we have built more than 360 digital agents and 160 analytics solutions positively impacting 110 business processes or activities and freeing up more than 82,000 man hours. Also, we set up our digital expertise center, which is the engine to speed up the appropriation of data and emerging technologies, adding digital value to the ISA group, and empowering a collaborative network of employees across the business group. we are democratizing this topic, and it allows also strengthening their capabilities to autonomously create tangible solutions, experiences, and products with impact. Next slide, please. The third agenda is the cultural transformation and the development of digital capabilities. As I mentioned, we were advancing in the digital part, but to really generate a transformation, we need to have a change in the culture and to develop capabilities in our people. This is a process that impacts everyone in the organization and seeks to transform our culture and generate new capabilities in our team. And also, this allows us to be better prepared to benefit from the full potential of these emerging technologies. We made progress in the construction of a digitalization culture through our digital transformation agents that are people under the processes and help us to move the rest of the organization. The inverse mentoring, where youngsters younger than 30 years all train our leaders using digitalizations or having to, but the idea is an exchange of knowledge between these two generations. And there are some rituals that bring the entire organization closer to technology and its applicability. That we highlight 15 minutes on digital. In 15 minutes, we are giving tips at the regional level to tell how we can use in a simple fashion and improve presence and digital transformation fair that we have three events up today. We have provided more than 10,000 hours of training for our team through an education path that includes cybersecurity, advanced analytics, artificial intelligence, and robotics. And together with our organizational talent department, we have updated our talent cycle to adapt to the changing environment and incorporate new roles that help us to take advantage of the full potential of data and technology. Let's go to the next slide, please. And our fourth agenda, it's very important, and is about protecting the technological infrastructure that support our business. As we advance in digital topics, we see cybersecurity is a structural support and allows us to make progress in the protection of our critical infrastructure, the safeguarding of our strategic information, and the continuity of our businesses. Cyber crime and identity theft are considered the second largest criminal industry in the world, and it has become a global business, massively impacting the economy, business, and the society. We've been training our employees because we can invest a lot of money in cyber security, but our first line of defense is our employees. We have generated governance and awareness programs, and we are committed that from our daily activities we can mitigate cyber threats that jeopardize our systems. In addition, we set up our Cybersecurity Excellence Center, which brings together cybersecurity experts for all our affiliates. We define the cybersecurity strategy and roadmaps, working with external entities as the armed forces, ministries, and regulators. We implemented a Security Operations Center, SOC, with advanced capability, which covers the information technology infrastructure and operational technology in all its group businesses. We strengthened the single identity access mechanisms for 100% of our employees since our peripheria was expanded to the house of our employees. And also, we implemented advanced email protections for 100% of our critical accounts and managers, since email is one of the most important infections. We have a cybersecurity policy in place for the group with an insurance coverage limit of $52 million. Let's go to the next slide. We cannot talk about the former without having assured the operational excellence of the technology and always having the satisfaction of our customers. In this last agenda, we strengthen the provision of technology services for the corporate group, making it increasingly cost efficient and seeking not only higher satisfaction for a customer, but also a total assimilation and adoption of technology so that we can take full advantage of the investments that we make in it. And in this transformation path, we're not going alone. We have a lease. Our challenge is sustainability and is based on building diverse ecosystem, managing them efficiently, and working collaboratively and under a concept of open innovation, which will allow us to respond quickly to the market and maintain our competitive advantage within the framework of a culture of high competence and trust. Let's go to next slide, please. But the digital transformation topic doesn't finish here. We understand digital transformation has a path, that it doesn't have a final destination, but it's continuous. And as of that, we have defined 5 work focuses for the near future. Always working and incorporating technology in our businesses. Not only gadgets for processes, but also that are aligned with the challenges of our businesses. The second is to go towards a data-oriented organization, understanding that we have to make better use of the information that we have, protect it, and take advantage of it to improve decision-making and generate competitiveness. The third challenge that we have is a digital talent focus. Today, globally, you know that there is a great struggle for talents, and talent is our focus. We will keep working to increase the level of knowledge of our expertise. And number 4 challenge is that cybersecurity has a priority. Cybersecurity is a major global concern, and for our organization continue being a strategic priority. And the 5th challenge is to strengthen our performance capability to speed up this transformation. As you can see, we keep envisioning what lies ahead to be able to obtain all those benefits. We keep envisioning what lies ahead, the most urgent challenges, and how we must prepare for them. This transformation is a path that will allow us as an organization to always be first and continue to be an inspiring and transformation leader in the sectors in which we participate. I thank you very much for your attention, and now I give the floor to Diana to start with the Q&A session. Thank you very much, Olga, for your presentation, which ratifies ISA's leadership in digital transformation as a lever to generate value to our shareholders. I would like now to open the floor for other 10 minutes because we have a lot of questions. They're interesting questions, so we answer in this space. I have to say that we have a lot of message. Thanks for you, Bernardo, for all these years of outstanding work. And a lot of people wish you a lot of success. Carlos Gaviria, who is one of our shareholders, he says that thanks for your work and a lot of success for your future endeavors. And he also asks, what are the expectations regarding the process of the sale of the church that Samir has in Tessa. And for ISA, it's of very important interest of selling the Tessa stake, of the interest is to buy them. And this question is also made by Jorge Vargas for BTG. So I think that we can answer both of them right now. Thank you, Diana, and thanks, Carlos, for his kind words. We have been declaring during some time that we are interested in buying more stake at Taesa to consolidate our control position, but we're not going to do it only at the right price. The market price of Taesa has been higher of what it's been because of reasons of the Brazilian market. We're paying attention and permanently analyzing that evolution of the price, and to be willing, if the opportunity comes, to proceed with a buy of those shares. We don't sell at the current price, so we think that if things happen at the right price, we could continue ahead with a purchase process. I don't know now, but maybe during the coming years. Our position in Taesa has been very important to consolidate our presence in Brazil, and that investment from the return has been one of the best investments that ISA has made from the international perspective. Thank you, Bernardo. The second question comes from Diego Buitrago from Bancolombia. He says, Bernardo, it was a pleasure to meet you and to share with you all these spaces. And it would be possible if you can go deeper in the economic rationale of the strategy of the reprofiling of the Interchile debt. More than the rationale you mentioned, I would like to dimension the cost-benefit relation, seeing the impact on the results of the quarter. Thanks a lot for your words, and I would like to give that answer to Carolina. Thank you, Bernardo. Diego, thanks a lot, as always. Excellent questions, Diego. And of course, yes, and thanks for giving us this opportunity, because it's one of those transactions that are important and that we have had in the group, and that are always thinking about the way of optimizing the capital structure of ISA and its companies. So I would start with what for we did the reprofiling. Number one, to have a better match of the asset duration. We accomplished an issue of 35 years. That is a very important period that not all the companies could actually get it, thanks to the nature our asset in Interchile. We had a former debt that it was with a profile and with a risk linked to the construction. And let us remember that we have entered in operation in 2019, and we wanted that the debt tied to this company would leave behind the constructive risk and to be able to capture a better financial cost. Also, capitalizing on the conditions of the moment, we see the last interest rate, internationally speaking, it recognizes that the rate that we were able to obtain in July are very low. As a summary, and this was assessed and analyzed, with all these aspects, we improve the profitability for Interchile stakeholders for about on about 100 basic points. We hope with this we have answered your question, Diego. Thanks a lot, Carolina, for your answer. One of shareholders, Mr. Felipe Roldan, would like to know, why do we apply for the Kimaloa Aguirre with other two partners in Chile? And what are the main risks of this project that we are bidding for? Dr. Cesar, please answer the question. Good morning to all. Thanks for your question. This is a project is a complex project, is an important investment. So has one of the strategy to be able to be competitive, we look for other two partners. We believe that that being part of that they bring to the consortium a very important knowledge and expertise. Unselect is the one in Chile, and a no slot, even though they were there, but we need to acknowledge that they have a lot of presence, and they know very well the territories, the interactions with the different authorities. The other partner is CSG, is a partner that has a lot of expertise in direct high voltage current, has developed projects in the world that have been very successful, and that's what he brings to the table, and is with this important expertise. And we're project in Brazil. So I think that's a consortium that brings a lot of advantages and allows us to be very competitive. This was a bid that brings a lot of challenges, and during the path, a lot of companies, international players, decided not to bid for the project because of the challenges. And the bid that was presented, the offer, on the 7th of October, only two consortiums are bidding, R, and another consortium that is MPOL, that is comprised by Iberdrola from Spain and Sedena Reds, that we hope that at 6th of December we can have a good news regarding this offer that we presented. This is a project that without a doubt that 50% is next to our projects, and the other 50% is a territory that is at the north of Chile that also brings some challenges. But it's to remember that besides the challenges that represents environmental licenses, communities, there's also an institutional topics that gives us a lot of strength to have Alcida and Translac. So I think that besides diversifying the risks because of the amount of the investment, I hope that this answer is enough for your question. Thanks a lot, Cesar. We have a question from Jorge Vargas from BTG, and he would like to know what we could spend of the Internexa cells, if it's going to happen this year or probably for 2022. Thanks, Jorge. Has the new shareholder entrance to ESA in a transaction that's important has asked to study into detail that they are aware of the decisions that the former board has made, and they are committed towards moving as fast as possible with this analysis to make a proper decision as soon as possible. Okay, thank you very much. And finally, since we're running out of time, Diego Huitrago from Bancolombia would like to know, in the consolidation process of the financial statement of ESA and Ecopetrol, we expect to have common accounting practices. Carolina, please. Thanks. Diego, once again, thanks for the question. Yes, we are in the process of standardization of policies. Until now, we don't have any important change that impact the financial statements, and we hope to finish this standardization towards the end of this year. Thank you, Carolina. and we're running out of time. Thanks a lot for being with us in this results conference, and we, as usual, expect you in next encounter. Have everybody a very nice day.